Good morning. It's time to begin our worship service. It appears we're going to have a very nice crowd today. Sun is shining, beautiful day. We appreciate everybody being here. We know that the inconvenience is there. The inconvenience will be there for a few more weeks. But we are so glad that you've chosen to be here, the fellowship one with the other. We miss all of you out there in the audience that are at home. We wish that you would find a way to come back as soon as you can. We pray for you and we pray for all of our members that time will heal all of the illnesses of the area. We have a couple of announcements we want to make this morning. Being the fact that we're on the air, we won't mention names, but there's a young lady in the back in the very far corner, a little blonde-headed lady, baptized last week. Give her a hug today whenever you see her. We're so glad that she's here, and she's so excited to be a member of the body of Christ. We had planned to have Fellowship Sunday at the end of this month, but because of the problem with the parking lot, we delay that until next month. The next month, we do plan to have Fellowship Sunday on the last Sunday of March, and I believe the date on that is the 27th. So let's kind of plan to be getting ready for that and enjoy some fellowship and food at that time. As you know, the parking lot is in progress. Tomorrow, they're supposed to pour cement. Tomorrow it's supposed to rain, so who knows? We just have to wait for the weather and times to be right. So just please be patient and know that things will be much safer and much better when it's all over. Now, if we could begin our service with a prayer, if you would please bow. Our Father, we're so very thankful for today, for the opportunity we have to worship, the opportunity we have to fellowship one with the other. We pray, Lord, that you will bless our service today and that you will bless each of us with strength. And when we leave here today, we will be more knowledgeable of your word, more receptive of your word, and more caring and concerned one for the other. We pray now that you will be with Russell and with Kendall as they bring the lessons of the hour and the music and the songs. And these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Praise thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The steadfast love of the Lord. If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver line that shines in the heavenly bed. Look by faith and see it, my friend, trust his promises red. Ling and you'll be hanged today. Press along to the goal, trusting him who lead the way, he is in your soul. Let the world away be long, look to Jesus and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song, sing and be happy today.
Okay, today's scripture is from James chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises and scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business.
Good to see everyone here this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian? When I was growing up, I learned a lot of short little sayings that communicated valuable truths, like the strongest wind, the strongest oak grows where the strongest wind blows. And I grew up in West Texas, so I knew a little bit about strong winds blowing. And I remember my granddad talking about, you know, things you'll face in life, but they can make you stronger. I hear people say things like, don't pray to be, for an easy way, pray to be a stronger person. I even had a poster of that up on my wall. I had heard people say sturdy seas make sturdy sailors. In other words, you become stronger and better sometimes by the adversity that you face. It will make you stronger. And I had other posters on my wall that said obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal, which I've shared with you quite a few times before. And I had a poster of some guys running with the inscription of part of the text we just read from James chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And I grew up as I went through makeups and breakups and good report cards and bad report cards and times where I was in trouble at school and where I was doing everything right at school, sometimes looking and thinking about the words that were spoken and the words that were on my wall, and with the perspective that things sometimes would be difficult, but your difficulties can lead you to a better place. And you may face obstacles, but you can overcome those obstacles. But sometimes life will give you some scars and some marks and some dents, but you can grow and become better sometimes because of those circumstances that you go through. I've got in my hand a golf ball. When golf first started off over in Holland, they used a wooden ball. Then later on, they got some leather and they stuffed it full of feathers. And over time, the golf ball changed, and now most of them look like this. There are some standards to what it has to be as far as weight and as far as size, as far as the spear is concerned. But all these little dots and bumps and valleys on the ball, you can have a lot of them, you can have less of them, they can be different shapes, they can be different things like that. But when the golf ball first started off, it was smooth. But they discovered that as they played with that smooth ball, the more they dinged it, and the more they dented it, and the more it got rough spots on it, the further it went. And then they discovered with aerodynamics and all the scientists doing their stuff, they discovered that when it's a smooth ball, it departs from the surface and it doesn't go as far as it could. If you reduce that drag, it would go much, much further. And there's all kinds of different guys' names that come up with different things about making this ball go further and faster. But if it's smooth, it'll go so far. But if it's got these little, they call them valleys, or they call them dimples. If they have those on them, then it can go twice as far as the smooth ball. And James is going to be communicating to us today that as we face various trials of different kinds, we can come through those trials going much further than we were before. And he's going to help us understand some things about tackling our trials. We all have them, don't we? We all struggle with different things in life. And sometimes people notice those struggles and try to give us some comfort. There was a mother who the bills were late, the washing machine broke, the TV wasn't working, she couldn't get anybody to come fix things in her house that was wrong. And then she got a letter from a friend that was very sick, and she just broke down and started crying. And her little child walked up to her, took a pacifier out of his mouth, and stuck it in her mouth. She was going through. That's what I say. The child was trying to comfort the mom. She was going through trials. James is going to give us some comfort, but he's also going to give us from some perspective about how we are to tackle trials. So if you got your Bibles, turn to James chapter 1. We're going to be looking at three strategies for tackling trials in James 1:1-11. First of all, display the right attitudes, joy and patience. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. He's writing primarily to Jewish Christians who had been scattered out. They had left Jerusalem. They were in various places. As Jewish Christians, they suffered a lot the same things the Hebrew Christians who were written to in the book of Hebrews faced. They became Christians. They went home to their families. Some of them were disowned by their families. They lost their jobs because of their new faith. They were going through difficult circumstances. He's writing to people who need to be encouraged to keep their faith in difficult situations. One thing that's important is our children grow up around us, is for us to give them the things they need so that they will have the faith that will sustain them to face the things that they will face in life. Because life is full of trials and struggles and difficulties, and we have to have a faith that will sustain us through those trials. James is writing to encourage Christians and get them to grow in their faith. Kind of the theme of the book is for them to mature as Christians. And one unique thing about the book is he's going to refer or give some, basically 15 allusions to things that Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. He wants them to grow in their faith, and he wants them to grow in the right direction. And so he's encouraging them. And the first thing, there's a lot of commands, over 50 in this book, that he says, I want you to do this, you need to do this. And he's starting off with, in verse 2, my brethren, which occurs about 15 times in the book, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. My brethren, count it all joy. He wanted them to have joy, that settled assurance that God is in control, that sense of knowing that everything is going to be all right. It reminds you of Habakkuk chapter 3 when he looks out and there's no sheep in the stalls, there's no food on the vines, everything is black and bleak and bad. And Habakkuk says, yet I'll rejoice in the God of my salvation. He's going to praise God because he knows God is in control. He knows God can supply him with what we need. Happiness is determined by the happenings that happen to us. Joy is something inside of us. As Christians, we're not to be a thermometer that just reacts to the things that happen to us in life. We're supposed to set the temperature. And we set it, and it means that regardless of what I face in life, I can have joy because God is in control. Everything is going to work out the way it needs to work out. And I can rejoice and count my trials as something positive, not negative, because of what God can do with those trials. God can work all things together for good for those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose, we're told in the book of Romans. And God can use the circumstances that we face in life to mature us and help us grow. Consider it all joy when you fall into various trials. Young man came to the preacher and said, I want you to pray for me and help me with my patience, to be a more patient person. I know how important that is. And the preacher bowed his head and said, may you bring trials and tribulations. And the guy's thinking, wait a minute. But how is patience produced? How do we grow? God can use circumstances that we face in life to help us grow and mature and become more patient in the things that we face. He says, you can face your trials with joy, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That word, the Greek word, is a compound word made up of two words, which one word is under and the other word is remain. It means to remain under. When you're going through a trial, remain under it. Remain under. It's talking about staying power, sticking with it through the trial. If we're people of faith, who are we going to stick to as we go through the trial? We're going to trust in God. Our faith is going to sustain us through those circumstances. Faith is important, but we're going to remain under the trial. And we're going to persevere. We're going to endure. We're going to do our best to handle it. We've been watching some of you maybe have been watching the Olympics. As the Winter Olympics are going on. We've watched some people have to remain under some various difficult circumstances. Some of them have been all over the news because maybe they didn't do as well as everybody thought they were going to do. And some of them said, look, I've learned things that I didn't know I was going to come and learn this time because I've learned more about human kindness and people being supportive. That's not what I anticipated. People are learning things, but they're enduring those trials to try to get to a better place. Sometimes we have to go through difficulties, but it's important for us to realize that as we go through the difficulties, God is working in us to get us to mature and grow in patience. Now, if you're around my house, and I have a 5-year-old granddaughter who sometimes wants things now, you know, Papa, will you do this? And I'm holding bags of trash, and as soon as I get done taking the trash out, and I've still got the bags in my hand, right? Can you do this now? 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 And so sometimes I'll sing the song. Have patience, don't be in such a hurry. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember, remember that God is patient too. And think of all the times that others have to wait on you, right? I'm not going to start an album or anything, but I sing the song, right? Have patience. Wait a little bit. Now sometimes patience, love is patient. The context tells you what that means. Here he's trying to get them to stay under, to stick with, not to give up, but to endure this. Why? Because in the end, the results will be something that God uses to mature us and bring us to completion. Our perspective is that when we face trials, we see that they will lead us somewhere better in our own spiritual maturity and our connection to God. And therefore, instead of letting things crumble us and affect our faith negatively, we should keep the faith and move along through those trials. And he says that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Now, does he mean sinless? No. It's about maturity, but there's these stages that he gives that we are to be perfect, mature, robust. We are to grow, and trials can help us grow. So sometimes when you look at a golf ball, the little dimples that are there, sometimes God uses circumstances to dimple us, and we can go farther because of it. We can be better because of it. That's a faith perspective. And now he says, you can be perfect, complete. Some people think maybe some of these ideas come from the Ithmian games, where they The Greeks had, we talk about the decathlon today. They talked about the pantheon. You had five different things that you did. If you won your event, you were perfect in that. You were the best. If somebody gets a gold medal, they're considered the best. But if you won all five events, or if someone wins the decathlon, they win all the events. They're the winner of all of them. That would be seen as complete. They've completed everything. In every way, they're complete. God wants us to be perfect, mature, complete, lacking in nothing, not having any missing pieces. When I was growing up, my mom's mom, we called her Nana, there was a toy store in Lubbock that I was into models. I like to put models together, sometimes ships, but especially cars and tanks and stuff like that. And so I'd get these, I'd save up my money and I'd buy a model and I'd put it together. Sometimes I'd give it away as a gift to somebody for their birthday or whatever, something I made. But I enjoyed doing that in my room, by myself, putting it together. Well, at the store, they would have this clearance box, and they would put these models in there of planes and cars and tanks, and it would say missing piece or missing decals, and it would be marked down. So when she would go to the store, she would always bring me, not new, not complete, not everything with it, but she would buy me the missing pieces boxes, right? And I got some cop car that was missing the siren on the top, you know, an old one that only had just one light. It was supposed to be on there, but it was missing it. So I took one of her thimbles and painted it red and put it on top. But one box said missing, and I opened it up, and there wasn't anything missing. Somebody must have brought it back to the store, and they mismarked it or whatever, but it was complete. Everything was there. Guess which one I liked the most? The one that was complete. The one that had nothing missing. He's saying here, God's idea for us is to grow in Christ and to be perfect, complete, mature, missing nothing, no missing pieces. Some of us get a little lackadaisical about our spiritual growth. And we should be pushing ourselves and praying for God to work in our lives to make us perfect and complete, missing nothing, lacking nothing. He says, when you face trials, display the right attitude of joy and patience and have the right perspective. And part of our zeal and our determination and our attitude should be, whatever you got to do, God, in my life to help me be what I need to be in you, that's what I want, because I want to be perfect, complete, and missing nothing. And we also read in Scripture that when we're going to read in a few weeks, as we hear the Word and put it into practice, we will be perfect, lacking nothing. God's given us ways to be complete. We need to seek those ways. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, he says, and not only that, but also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Tribulations, difficulties, trials, things that we go through, lead us to trust in God more, to have a deeper commitment, and it helps us to grow and mature. But also use the right tools, wisdom and faith. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. He gives us a picture. And in James, it's very practical. And he gives us some pictures at times that speak very clearly to us. And here he's telling us, when we go through adversity, when we go through affliction, when we go through trials, sometimes it puts us on our back and there's only one way to look is up. And we have to depend on God. There are certain things that we can't figure out. I pray for wisdom a lot. God will give it to us generously without finding fault. He will give us wisdom. And what is wisdom? We talked about this in my class this morning. Avocados and tomatoes. Knowledge is knowing that an avocado or a tomato is fruit. Wisdom is not putting them in the fruit salad. There's a difference, right? Sometimes we need wisdom in circumstances, especially when we go through trials. Because sometimes we blame God when we shouldn't be blaming God. Sometimes we blame other things when we should be blaming ourselves. Maybe the trials come on because of our own choices. There's human nature. There's mother nature. There's all kinds of things that come into play when trials come our way. And sometimes we make the wrong determination of why that's there. Sometimes we need wisdom in how to deal with the struggles that we're going through. And when we ask God, He will give us wisdom. You think about Solomon. He asked for wisdom. God gave it to him. God will give you and I wisdom when we ask for it. The problem is prayer and seeking wisdom sometimes is our last response and not our first response. But we must believe, because we have to trust that God will do what He said. And if we don't, we're like something being tossed to and fro by the sea. You can't be a Christian and be a ping pong ball. You can't be a thermometer and react to the circumstances. You have to be a thermostat and set the circumstances. Ask for wisdom. Believe that God will give it to you, and He will. Trust in Him and believe it. And then he says, keep your the right perspective. Hopeful humility. Some people wonder why this is in this context. But when you and I go through trials, sometimes we look at our poor circumstances and maybe we get disappointed or disheartened. Or maybe we look and we have a lot of wealth. We have a lot of resources. And sometimes we rely on those things instead of in God. Here he's going to tell them, look, whether you're rich or you're poor, you need to hope in God, trust in God with humility. Because whether you're rich or poor, when it all comes down to it, the trial's going to happen. And whether you're rich or poor isn't going to help you out. In the end, we're all going to face the same judgment. We're all on the same plane. And what's important is that you have humility in your life. If you're poor, you have things to be thankful about and riches you have in Christ, that He has exalted you. Focus on that. If you're rich, don't rely on the wealth that you have. Humbly follow God through that trial, because God will exalt the humble and humble the exalted. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field will pass away, for no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat, then it withers the grass, the flower falls, and it is beautiful in appearance, it perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. It's all going to come to an end for all of us. We're all on the same plane. And whether you're rich or poor, you need to depend on God as you go through those trials and struggles. Because hopeful humility leads to a happy heart. Regardless if you're poor or rich. You can become a Christian whether you're rich or poor. You can have the blessings you have in Christ whether you're rich or poor. If you're rich and have resources, don't depend on those things. Depend on God. If you don't have a lot, God supplies you with everything you need. Rejoice in that. But keep the right perspective. Keep your focus on and your dependence on God as you go through the trial. Some people go through trials and they don't go through them very well because they don't depend on God, they depend on humans. There's a story in the Old Testament that's pretty vivid about King Asa. Twice in his life, he depends on God and things come out well. At the end of his life, he depends on other kingdoms and then he gets a foot disease. He calls in the doctors. He trusts in them and not in God, and it doesn't end well. And the picture there for us is, whatever circumstances you're at in life, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your steps. As you go through trials in life, have that perspective. He says, ask, believe, and receive. Wisdom. As you go through trials, I want you to think about this. A man was given a lecture. He had gone through a lot of difficulties in his life. He had suffered loss. He had suffered health problems. And he was giving a speech to a class about trials. So, as he starts his speech, he writes up on the board, T-R-A-I-L-S. And as he's talking about trials, you could tell in the room there was a discomfort because everybody knew that what he said and what was written on the board, and you all are like, Russell, you spelled that wrong, was different. But he kept talking about trials and everybody's feeling uncomfortable. And finally, a guy in the back of the room said, you made a mistake. You wrote on the board trails. And it's supposed to be, I keep checking, make sure I didn't make a mistake. It's supposed to be trials. And that's what he was waiting for. And he said, trials are trails. Whatever you do as you face the trial will determine your trail. And your trail will either lead you away from the Lord or it will lead you closer to the Lord. It's all about how you respond in your trial. How should we respond in our trial? So it will be a trail to get us closer to God. James shows us very clearly what that answer is. Is it a trial or is it a trail? It's both. There's difficulty, but it can lead you somewhere, and where you want it to lead you is closer to God. Display the right attitudes, joy and patience. Use the right tools, wisdom and faith. Keep the right perspective, hopeful humility. Hashtag trial goals. What's your goal in a trial? What's James' goal for them? It's joy. It's perseverance. It's growth. That's what God wants when we go through difficulties. The next time you go through the difficulty, go through it with a different perspective. The perspective that James gives us here. And whatever you're going through, make sure that your life is right with God. That you have a faith that will sustain you no matter what you go through. And that all begins by making a commitment to the Lord. And if you're here today and need to make that commitment to confess your faith in Jesus, to turn your life around and repent, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, whatever your need is this morning, if we can help you, please come as we stand and sing.
Morning, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, let us clear our minds and focus our thoughts on Christ and on the cross. And as we do that, at least for myself, it often brings kind of two conflicting emotions. I get both sad and also get glad. I get sad because as I think of what Christ had to go through and the violence that was done to him and the violence that was done to his body. And then I think farther that he had to suffer that because of me and because of my sin. That makes me really sad. But then when I think about what Christ accomplished on the cross with his death, it brings joy back. Because there on the cross, through his blood, he purchased me back. He redeemed me. He brought me salvation. His blood washes my sins away. And that makes me very joyful. So as we prepare our minds this morning, let us think about those things and let us remember what a wonderful Savior we serve. Let us ask. Father, we come before you, thanking you for this bread, which represents your Son's body, which was given to us, Father, and sacrificed to us, Father, willingly, taking on our punishment. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for the love that he shows to us. And we pray that if we take this bread, that we will do so in a manner that remembers him, Father, and celebrates with him. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Now let us bow for this. Father, we come before you again, thanking you for your Son, thanking you for his willingness to go to the cross, Father, taking on all of our sins, Father, and suffering what we deserve. Father, we pray that as we partake of this cup, that we will remember Christ, that we will remember that his blood washes our sins, and that through his death, salvation was open to us. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Please take a card from the pew in front of you or the chairs in front of you, fill it out, give them the overflow room, pack it inside. If you are in the main auditorium, pack it outside if it picks up that way.
Joyful me, my glory, God of glory, Lord of love, hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away.
Separate and apart from the Lord's Supper, we are given the opportunity to give back a portion of that which we have been so richly blessed. The contributions are needed. They're received with joy, and we appreciate all those who have made those contributions. If you have not done so, there is a box in the foyer. You can drop it there on the wall. Also, there's a slot on the door. If you're not here with us this morning and you wish to make a donation later, when no one is here, just drop it to the slot at the door. And for those that are worshiping online, you can mail those in as well or bring them up to the building. You know, throughout the New Testament, the deal or the situation with giving is mentioned several times, the importance of it. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, that we're to give from the heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And we also see the spirit of giving in Mark 12, verses 41 through 44, where he addresses that the poor widow who had nothing but what she had, the smallest she had, she gave from the heart. And I think we need to remember that we should give from the heart cheerfully, not under compulsion, not out of gratitude, but just give from the heart, because we know that that money that's collected is used in a meaningful way. If you'll bow with me, we will close out our worship service with a prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for all those that are present with us this morning, whether here in the building or online, that they have a spiritual renewal, that their hearts are uplifted. And Father, we pray that we have been reminded of the true blessing that we have in Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that he has made that was mentioned earlier, that he did so willingly for the remission of our sins. And the Lord, would we reflect upon those that cannot be here for various reasons, we ask that you be with these individuals and through them, see them through their difficulties, if they're having problems physically or whatever the situation may be. And be with those, Father, that are lost spiritually. We ask, Father, that you watch over them and be with them and bring them back into the fold. Thank you once again, Father, for all that you have done for us and for your Son, Jesus Christ. All these things in your Son's name, Christ our Savior. Amen.